Good afternoon and welcome to Pleasing God, the Bible study program heard on this station Monday through Friday for 15 minutes starting at noon. We concentrate on important Bible topics and answer religious questions from the Word of God. I'm Mark J. Ward and want to thank you personally for being a regular listener to our program and ask you to please tell others about the program. You can go to our teaching website at markjward.com, scroll down to the questions area, and send me your Bible questions to be answered on the air in the future, or leave me comments that you might have about this program. Also, look for the Antique Radio at the same site, and you'll be able to see all past episodes of this program to review and study as you like. Yesterday we were speaking from Acts, the 15th chapter. What an interesting passage. There was disagreement, and there's disagreement in our time today. There are lessons to be learned from both the good and the mistakes that we can find in God's Word. Romans 15:4 says, "The things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." That's hope of eternal life. There's nothing better than eternal life with God and the faithful of all time. In Acts 15, men had the option of siding with that which was well-pleasing in the sight of God or holding to a false doctrine, namely that you had to be circumcised if you were a Gentile and you were going to become a Christian. That part of the conversion process for the Gentile would be a mandate for the male children for circumcision to be involved. That was wrong. That was adding to the Word of God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. And that doesn't mean that you just invoke the name of the Lord and say, "Hallelujah, Lord, we invoked your name." But rather it's by His authority. And we should know of the authority of Christ specifically as He is the lawgiver of the new covenant, Hebrews 9. He's the mediator of the New Testament. It is better. He has been the perfect sacrifice. He took the old law out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And Hebrews, the 9th chapter, is rich. The whole book of Hebrews is rich with regard to the differences between the old that has passed away and the new that we can enjoy. Peter, the apostles and elders that stood with God and on God's side, were pleasing to God. And James that spoke up and tied things back in even to the prophets that specifically named from the Word of God. That's what we need to do today when we have disagreements and not misuse Scripture. And if one is being misused, kindly point it out. Point out the reasons why, not just quote a Scripture and think that's going to do it. It should do it if we would rightly divide and discern the proper meaning. And our heart is right not to hold out of pride that which we have held to in the past, but admit our wrongs, teachers. Let it go if it's false doctrine. Don't stay where you're mandated to teach certain things. Go where you can be well-pleasing in the sight of God. Make a change. God will be pleased. On this occasion, those that were teaching the error had the opportunity to change. Not much said about them with regard to that. Let's move on over through the book of Acts and go to Paul at Thessalonica and then at Berea. I often go to Acts 17:10, commending the Bereans. But we're looking at examples of those who were both well-pleasing in that they had the opportunity to do so and did, and not well-pleasing, because they had the opportunity to please God but chose not to. Paul at Thessalonica, Acts 17. "Now when they had traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus whom I am proclaiming to you is the Christ.'" Paul is proclaiming that which he knew very well, for in his own life he was holding on to Jesus of Nazareth was not the Christ, and he was persecuting Christians, going into even their houses and striking them, and having letters, he could take them out and put them in prison. However, when Paul, who was Saul at the time, of Tarsus, met Jesus on the road to Damascus and had a discussion with him, he quickly realized that Jesus of Nazareth was indeed the Christ, and now he's preaching it. He's a great example, like Apollos is in Acts 18 and 19, of one who is willing as a teacher, who holds a reputation among men, to not let that get in the way of letting go of false doctrine and holding to the truth for the salvation of their soul, and to help not damn the souls of their hearers who are swallowing hook, line, and sinker like baby birds because it must be true if the preacher said it. Not knowing that there are so many differing and conflicting and erroneous teachings that are going forth today in the name of quote-unquote Christianity. Now we get to Paul at Thessalonica, and he's teaching the truth. Jesus is the Christ. Jews would know about that. He's in the synagogue. Oh, he'll worship with the saints on the first day of the week. That's God's mandated date of worship. But he'll go back into the realm of Judaism, and he will teach the truth, and he'll point to the prophets, and he will teach them whom he used to be in cohort with since the Acts 2 Pentecost forward, as those Jews who were in error holding to the old law instead of recognizing Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 4 says, "And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, along with a large number of God-fearing Greeks." So it's kind of hard for those Jews to let go at this point. Those that had already obeyed the gospel had, and certainly were following Christ. Some departed from it. But now we've got those what I call hanger-oners, and they're hanging on to Judaism. But some, even in this setting in Acts 17, were persuaded that Jesus is the Christ and joined Paul and Silas. But how blessed it is that those Gentiles, a large number of the God-fearing Greeks and a number of the leading women, obeyed the gospel, turned to Christ. But the Jews, becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob and set the city in uproar, and attacking the house of Jason, they were seeking to bring them out to the people. When they did not find them, they began dragging Jason and some brethren before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have upset the world," or turned the world upside down, some translations say, remember that? "Have come here also, and Jason has welcomed them, and they all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar." Okay, now we're going to try to slip a little lie in there. And with the authorities, it's not going to mean much as far as squabbling over whether Jesus is the Messiah, as far as the Jews reckon it to be. No, we're going to have to get an appeal in here and get Caesar involved because of the Roman Empire being the authority of the day. And as long as the Jews played well in the sandbox, the Romans were happy to see that and tax them and let them be. But if there was going to be an uprising, or if someone was going to overtake or try to have an insurrection against Caesar and overthrow the civil government, oh, that was going to be met with the sword. "So Jason has welcomed them, and they all act contrary," notice, "to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." See? Jesus said, "My kingdom's not of this world. If it were, would my servants would fight." He said, "You can't take me unless my Father allows you to take me to the cross. And I could command how many legions, how many angels, and more so if he'd wanted to use a larger number, and certainly anything less than what he mentioned. They stirred up the crowd and the city authorities who heard these things. And when they had received a pledge from Jason and others, they released them." the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night. Get out of town. You're being persecuted. Move on with the gospel. People had been saved. People had been converted. But then there are those who had the opportunity to please God, and for whatever reasons, they were not right reasons, for all the wrong reasons, they wanted to remain in the Jewish synagogue, in the Jewish way, and continue on without Christ. So here we go, getting Paul and Silas to Berea. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Not very timid, are they? Not very shy. It's like, well, the Lord will understand if we take 6 months off, just kind of rest. After all, we kind of got into a scrape. Woo! We almost lost our life there. Boy, this Christianity's tough. Well, nobody said it was going to be easy. And God said, yea, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And John in the book of Revelation mentions, be thou faithful until or unto death, even if it cost you your life. If they say curse God or die, we're not to curse God. We're to be faithful. Faithful servants of God, so that if we have to claim and confess God as being the true God, that we might die from this life, because eternity in heaven is the goal, not living longer here on this earth. Now these, that is those at Berea, Acts 17, verse 11, were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. Why? Why, Luke? Tell us. Luke's recording the book of Acts for us. Why were those in Berea more noble? You mean they had royal blood? Is that what we're talking about here? Well, let's read, because he does tell us. For they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. I'm going to step on some toes right now. If you are not, repeat, if you are listening to the sound of my voice, and on other occasions the voice of other teachers and preachers proclaiming to teach God's word, and you're not opening your Bible and following along and checking, examining the scriptures, you need a rebuke. You need exhortation. You need to be exhorted to do better. Be like the Bereans. They weren't just trying to be the teacher's pet or God's pet, but it's the right thing to do. How many of you have not opened a Bible this year, 2020, from January till now, and give serious consideration to things over which good people disagree in religious matters today? Oh, I don't argue religion, Mark. Oh, I don't do that. The holy men of God did. Jude 3 says we are to contend earnestly for the faith, once for all delivered to the saints. We need to try to be taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and with love cut sin and false doctrine and ungodly living away from the lives of people who will accept the Lord in His way in order to be well-pleasing in His sight. Would you consider making a change if you've not been opening your Bible? And it doesn't have to be a hard copy. Go to BibleHub.com. You've got 20 or so English translations there at your fingertips. Pick a word-for-word translation like the New King James Version or the New American Standard Version. Please get familiar with that. Read through the challenge, the exercise routines at MarkJWard.com that are coming, and already the one about reading through the New Testament in a month. Yes, you heard me right. Will you read through the New Testament in a month? I challenge you. I challenge you to do it, if not in November, December. If you can't do it in 1 month, do it in 2. God bless you. Till tomorrow, have a pleasant good day.